Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, October 24th, 2021. I'm narrating on Thursday, October 28th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for October 2021. Tom Green County, as of October 27th, City of San Angelo, 24,881 positive cases reported, 14 new positive tests, deaths 461, 297 from Tom Green County and 164 from other counties, 22 currently hospitalized, 212 active cases. Always takes a different meaning with San Angelo's newest boutique, Honors Owner's Late Husband, by Elena Edgen, published October 27th. Yolanda Salinas lost her Always, her husband Jamie, in 2020. When she thought of opening a boutique, she knew it would be a great way to honor him. My husband would always use J-Yo to reference him and I. J from Jamie plus Yo from Yolanda, Selena said. He will be my Always, so it made it easy to be Always J-O's. His memory even went into the logo for Always J-O's, a boutique for women and children, which is fashioned after the Miami Dolphins, Jamie's favorite team. I'm trying to keep him and his memory alive as much as I can, Selena said. Always J-O's got its start in Salinas' home, but it started to become too much as Salinas is a full-time corporal with the Tom Green County Detention Center. So she enlisted Kinsella Lopez, her eldest daughter, to help. She has been the biggest supporter trying to get this all started and helping me out so much, said Salinas. The storefront opened Friday at 110 A Alexander Street and will be open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. People can keep up with Always J-O's on Facebook. Mixing wine and Halloween is more trick than treat, by Gus Clemens, special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published October 26th. Halloween can be a frightful challenge for a wine writer. Do you ignore the holiday? Do you give fanciful advice about pairing wine with candy your children extorted from neighbors under the threat of mischief? Do you pair wine with the groaning bowl of candy you purchased, but too few extortionists came to your door? Do you attempt to be clever by recommending wines with at least a tenuous Halloween connection for your adult costume party? Concha y Toro's Casiero del Diable, Cellar of the Devil, is an obvious call. This column has visited all those themes since it began in 2008. Here's a fast recap. Wine pairing with candy easily leads to horrors. Best advice, don't pair wine with candy. If you ignore the first piece of advice, dark chocolate can pair with rich red wines. The wine must be as sweet or sweeter than the candy. Consider Madeira Malmsey Tawny Port, Buttery California Chardonnay, Popcorn Balls, Sweet Riesling, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. If you are past the kiddie days and will throw an adult Fright Night Fandango, there are kitschy, clever, affordable, and widely available wines to fit a Halloween theme. See Tasting Notes. If you are a responsible adult who just wants to have a good Sunday repast this Halloween, Tasting Notes include suggestions not haunted by Halloween. Tasting Notes. Casiero del Diablo, Cellar of the Devil, from Chile's monster maker Concho y Toro. Good quality value, almost every major varietal. Michael David Winery, Seven Deadly Sins, Raspberry Cranberry Spice, and Freak Show, Black Currant Oak Vanilla. Alexander Valley Wines, Temptation Zen, Plush Cherries, Sin Zen, Raspberry Pepper, and Redemption Zen, Lush Blackberries Plum. Wines from Graves region of Bordeaux, French pronunciation is grave and means gravel, but you can intro with English pronunciation. There are many wine choices, including Sauternes, sweet, exquisite, expensive stuff, which means you could pair with candy, but please, don't let the devil tempt you into that sin. Veramonte Reserva Carminere, 2018. Very dependable, everyday wine. Superb QPR, quality-price ratio, $10 to $12. The Prisoner Wine Company, Unshackled Rosé, California, 2019. Red fruit forward, fun, easy drinker, touch of tartness, $15 to $22. Mer Soleil Santa Lucia Highlands Reserve Chardonnay, 2017. Butter and oak stop short of being over the top, $20 to $29. Frank Family Vineyards Carneros Pinot Noir, 2018. Red fruits framed by splendid acidity for a Pinot Noir. Good texture, appropriate oak, $30 to $38. Last round. What type of pants did the ghosts wear to the Halloween wine party? Boo jeans. Email wine@cwadv.com. Newsletter, gusclemens.substack.com. Website, gusclemensonwine.com. Eagle Pass man dies after losing control while driving near Big Lake, by Elena Edgen, published October 21st. An Eagle Pass man has died after a rollover near Big Lake, according to a Texas Department of Public Safety news release. About 7:21 a.m., Monday, October 18th, John David Sauceda, 30, was driving a 1996 Ford Explorer SUV south on State Highway 137. The vehicle did not stay in a single lane, causing Sauceda to lose control, according to the release. The Ford veered to the west, overcorrected, and went into a side skid before rolling over. Sauceda was ejected from the Ford, according to the release. He was not wearing a seatbelt. The report listed the conditions as dry roads and clear weather conditions. Sports. Lakeview looks to end years of frustrations against Andrews, by Charles Bryce, published October 27th. On the heels of one of their best games all season, the Lakeview Chiefs will shoot for their first District 2-4A win of the year on the road against Andrews on Friday night. Lakeview gave defending district champion Fort Stockton all it could handle before coming just short in a 35-32 double overtime loss last week. The Chiefs are 2-6 overall and 0-1 in district. They'll face an Andrews team that also dropped 2-6 and 0-1 following a 48-19 blowout loss against 2-6A co-leader Big Spring. Kickoff for Friday's game is scheduled for 7 p.m. at the Mustang Bowl, with radio coverage on KWFR 101.9 FM. Looking back on last week's game against Fort Stockton, Lakeview recorded a second half shutout, and the Chiefs scored early in the fourth quarter to force overtime at 21-21. The Chiefs led 32-29 in the second OT before the Panthers sealed it with a touchdown. It was a tough loss for our boys and for the coaching staff, Lakeview head coach Hector Guevara said. They played well, we just didn't come out on top. Guevara praised his assistant coaches for helping Lakeview execute well in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. We put ourselves in a position to make good plays, the Lakeview coach said. We made some, but we didn't make enough. Overall, Guevara said, I think our kids probably played one of our best games. Now the Chiefs will try to steal one on the road against an Andrews team that handed them a 56-27 setback last year. The way Guevara makes it sound, the Mustangs are a lot better than their record might suggest. They're very talented, the Lakeview coach said. They run the ball well, and they throw the ball well. They just haven't had the ball bounce their way. But we're going to practice hard and hopefully put ourselves in a good position on Friday. Mustangs quarterback E.J. Lopez has thrown for 1,977 yards and 17 TDs. He's been picked off 13 times. Lopez spreads the ball around to a talented receiving corps led by Garrett Morris, 403 yards, 4 TDs. Jalen Jones, 338 yards, 6 TDs. And Sean Parker, 327 yards, 3 TDs. Running back Brock Tiarina leads Andrews on the ground with 456 yards and 5 TDs. He's averaging 4.4 yards a carry. Andrews leads the all-time series with Lakeview, 36-7, including a current 14-game winning streak. The Chiefs' most recent win against Andrews was in 2002. If Lakeview can snap the long losing streak against Andrews, the Chiefs could find themselves fighting for a share of the 2-4A title in the regular season finale next week at home against Big Spring. That's what we want to do, Guevara said. Every coach in our district wants to be a district champion. That's our mindset. San Angelo Central hopes to cool off Midland Legacy in home finale by Charles Bryce, published October 27th. You could make the argument that this week's showdown against Midland Legacy is the biggest challenge the San Angelo Central High School football team has faced at home since hosting top-ranked Allen 5 years ago in the regional semifinals. It might be, Central head coach Kevin Crane said. Austin Vandergrift earlier this season was really similar. I think they're ranked in the top 10 right now, and then obviously Legacy's up there too. They're so talented. They've got pretty much everything. They've got linemen, they've got receivers, they've got a running back and a quarterback and a great defense. They've got it all. It's going to be a big challenge, but our kids are excited for another opportunity to play. We generally play well at home, so we're going to see what we can get done out there. Legacy, 7-1 overall, 4-0 in District 26A, has won 5 straight games since dropping a 43-37 non-district decision on the road against Arlington Martin on September 10th. The Rebels rolled past crosstown rival Midland High, 57-27 last week. Meanwhile, Central, 4-4, 2-2, is sitting alone in fourth place, trying to hang on to the final playoff spot. The Bobcats lost 21-7 on the road against Odessa Permian last week. Kickoff for Central's home finale is scheduled for 7 p.m. at San Angelo Stadium. If you can't make it out to the game, you can watch it live on the Concho Sports Network or tune in to KIXY 94.7 FM. The Bobcats led 7-0 against Permian last week before giving up 21 unanswered points, and they hurt their own cause with too many untimely penalties and a lack of consistency on offense. I felt like our defense played well, Crane said. They really kept us in the game the entire way. They kept fighting and kept battling. It certainly wasn't perfect, but a couple third downs that we could have got off the field would have really helped. We were real close to making a play and didn't quite get it done. Offensively, it was just one of those nights where we struggled. We score on the first drive, and the second drive, we get the ball down there, and we get a holding call. We would have had a first and goal from the 3-yard line. And then we get the backward pass thing, which was just devastating. And so then, we weren't even in field goal range. If we go up 14-0 right there, it could have been a totally different ball game. Central quarterback Tyler Hill has thrown for 1,514 yards and 5 touchdowns, in addition to throwing 4 interceptions. He leads the Bobcats with 693 yards rushing and 9 TDs. Running backs Bobby Navarette, 466 yards, 6 TDs, and Darius Floyd, 416 yards, 7 TDs, give the Bobcats a lot of options with their rushing game. Central's top receivers are Jacob English, 437 yards, 3 TDs, Trevor Scott, 235 yards, 1 TD, Caden Box, 205 yards, Jaden Gibson, 204 yards, 1 TD, and Kevon Rice, 190 yards. Rice was the offensive standout last week for the Bobcats, snagging 5 receptions for 154 yards, all in the first half. Too many penalties in the red zone have plagued Central in 2021. It's been an issue before. It's hard to overcome those types of penalties down there in the red zone, Crane said. If we can just clean that up, we'll be all right. It's disappointing that we couldn't punch the ball in down in the red zone. The Bobcats know how fortunate they are to be clinging to postseason hopes. Friendship was forced to forfeit a win against Central after using an ineligible player, giving Central new life in the playoff race. The Bobcats can punch their ticket as the fourth and final playoff team from their district if they win either of their final two games. Even if they don't, they'll still qualify if Friendship beats Odessa High on Friday, combined with the win by Abilene High over Midland High. We talked, and if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs, Crane said. We want them to understand that. Obviously, the season doesn't end, but we're still sitting right there in the mix. We've still got a lot to play for, and we've still got a lot of hope and a lot of optimism moving forward. Obviously, Legacy's coming in here, and they're a good football team. And then we have Abilene after that, and they're playing really good too. But there's different scenarios that could play out. Really, we're just focused on us and trying to be the best team we can be every day. The Rebels' explosive offense centers around quarterback Marcus Davila, who has thrown for 1,894 yards and 17 TDs. He's a good football player and just a sophomore, Crane said of the 6'3", 200-pounder. He's a Division I type kid. He's already been offered a scholarship by Kansas, and I'm sure he'll get more offers. He throws the ball really well, and he's a good runner. We've got to do a good job of disrupting him and moving him off the spot and try to get some quarterback pressure and try to get him a little uncomfortable. That'll be an important part of the plan. The Rebels' leading receiver is Chris Brazell Jr., 656 yards, 7 TDs, whose father was a standout receiver for Angelo State University and later played for the Dallas Cowboys. His dad played high school football in Alice, so I was real familiar, Crane said. I never met him, but I knew the name and what he did down there in Alice. And then he obviously played here and then with the Cowboys. He obviously was a really good talent, and his son is a chip off the old block. He's got size, he's got speed, and he's got great hands. He's got it all. That was a nice move in for Legacy to get him from Midland Christian. He's not the only receiver. They've got other ones too that can really run and play. The Bobcats defense will also have its hands full trying to contain Legacy running back Mahelan Young, who has accounted for 1,578 yards rushing and 28 TDs. Crane says Young will be the best running back the Bobcats have faced all year. You can tell just by watching him on film how much he loves to play football, the Bobcats coach said. He's a really talented player. He's got speed, and he's got good hips and good lateral movement. He sees the hole well. And once he gets in the open, man, he's fast. It's going to be challenging to try to bottle him up. The Rebels are just as scary on the other side of the ball. They're playing well on defense, the Central coach said. They're big, strong, and vast, the whole deal. They look like the part. Across the board, offense and defense, they're really playing well. That's a credit to them, and that's why they're leading the district right now. Crane says the Bobcats will need the 12th man factor as much as ever this week if they're going to have a chance against the Rebels. It's probably going to take some turnovers and things to have a chance to beat them. They're so talented, the Bobcats coach said. You never know. For our seniors, this will probably be the last home game, and we certainly don't want to wish it away. We want to savor every second of it. This team will never be together again, so you can't recreate the era. When a Bobcat is cornered in the wild, it's going to come out scratching and clawing. We'll play hard, and we're going to compete and see what happens, Crane said. 68th Annual Roping Fiesta returns to San Angelo this week, by Paul Harris, published October 27th. The 68th Annual Roping Fiesta is set to begin in San Angelo this week, highlighted by the $20,000 winner-take-all showdown between Shad Mayfield and Tuff Cooper. The four-day Roping Fiesta, which begins Thursday, features numerous events at the San Angelo Fairgrounds. The marquee competition, however, is the Match Roping event, which regularly draws two of the top names in the sport. This year, fans will be treated to Mayfield, the defending PRCA world champion, going head-to-head with Cooper, a four-time world champion, who is also the defending champion in San Angelo after defeating Haven McGid last year. The two cowboys will each rope 12 calves during the invitational roping event at 1 p.m. Saturday at the Outdoor Roping Arena, which holds about 4,000 spectators. People can buy tickets at sanangelorodeo.com or in person at the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo Office, 200 West 43rd Street. Ticketed events include invitational calf roping and match roping on Saturday, October 30th. Cost $15 if purchased early or $20 day of show. The steer roping and double mugging on Sunday, October 31st. Cost $10. Other events are free to attend. The fiesta also coincides with the In Plain Air weekend, allowing artists the opportunity to paint at the arena. Artists planning to attend the October 30th Rope Yourself a Painting event can get in free until 11 a.m. Besides roping events, there will be the Vendor Expo from October 30th to 31st at the Foster Communications Coliseum and Housley Communications Cattle Barn. This is free to attend. On Saturday, October 30th, ticket holders can stick around for the final event of the day, a concert with Josh Ward and Tristan Merez. San Angelo Unidad Playground to close until spring 2022. Here are other parks to see, by Elena Edgen, published October 26th. San Angelo's Unidad Park Playground will be closed for several months after this weekend, according to a city news release. Beginning Monday, November 1st, the playground at Vista del Arroyo Drive and College Hills Boulevard will be closed for renovations. Parks Department crews will begin setting up safety fencing and removing equipment next week. The closure is expected until the spring of 2022. The playground was previously renovated in 1998 and has worn down, adding to maintenance costs and potential safety issues, according to the release. Funding for the renovation comes from half-cent sales tax funds, a generous grant from the San Angelo Health Foundation, and funds raised through the San Angelo Area Foundation's San Angelo Gives program, according to the release. The city also added that Brentwood Park's renovation is nearing completion. This renovation includes new walkways, refurbished tennis courts and basketball goal, picnic areas, benches, a small parking area, and pavilion, as well as a brand new, unique playground, the release stated. Here are some other parks to check out in the meantime. Bell Park, Brown Park, City Park, Civic League Park, El Paseo de Santa Angela Park, Glenmore Park, Harmon Park, Hot Water Slough Park, Jaime Padron Memorial Park, Kids Kingdom, Kirby Community Park, Knickerbocker Park, Lake Park, Lone Wolf Bridge, Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Park, Mary E. Lee Park, Meadow Creek Park, Middle Concho Park, Mountain View Park, North Concho Park, Old Town, Pecan Creek, restrooms at the Pavilion, Producers Park, Red Bluff Circle, Rio Concho Park, Roxlow Park, Santa Fe Park, Santa Rita Park, Shady Point Circle, South Concho Park, Spring Creek Park, Sulphur Springs Park, Sunken Garden Park, The Bosque, Visitor Center, Webster Tot Lot Park. San Angelo police officer injured after finding missing pickup. Man arrested. By Elena Edgen, published October 26th. After a blue pickup went missing from a San Angelo construction site and a police officer was injured, one man has been arrested, according to an arrest affidavit. On Friday, October 22nd, a person reported a 1996 GMC Sierra as stolen from a construction site on South Bryant Boulevard and Fusselman Drive. Police found a man in the missing pickup at a convenience store on 19th Street on Tuesday, record state. As an officer started to place handcuffs on the man, he attempted to get away, bite the officer, and punch the officer's face and head. The punches left visible injuries to their face, according to an arrest affidavit. Henry Nick Perez, 45, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, assault on a peace officer, failure to identify fugitive from justice, resisting arrest, search, or transport, and a parole violation. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $50,500 bond as of 4 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Child reportedly sexually abused for nearly 2 years in Tom Green County. Man arrested. By Elena Edgen, published October 26th. A San Angelo man has been charged with nearly 2 years of sexual abuse of a child, according to court documents released Monday. From December 12, 2015 through April 3, 2017, a child younger than 14 years old was reportedly sexually abused. An indictment filed October 15, 2021 stated the abuse happened multiple times. Record state. James Travis Baker, 37, was arrested Monday on the indicted charges of continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 and indecency with a child by sexual contact. The continuous abuse charge is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Indecency is a second-degree felony punishable by up to 20 years. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $70,000 bond. A court date has not been set as of 4:15 p.m. Monday, according to online court records. San Angelo man indicted after fatal December 2020 crash in Valley View neighborhood. By Elena Edgen, published October 25th. Nearly a year after 22-year-old Kenneth Horton died in a DWI-related crash in San Angelo, the driver has been indicted and could face up to 20 years in jail if convicted, according to court documents released Monday. An indictment filed October 15th charged Maurice Jared Hasty with intoxication manslaughter with a vehicle, which killed Horton, his passenger. The charge is a second-degree felony punishable by up to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Documents stated drinking before driving, then speeding and a loss of control led to the deadly crash. Around 11 p.m. December 2nd, 2020, police arrived to a single vehicle wreck in the area of Valley View and West Way Drive. Investigation revealed Hasty, who had been drinking before driving, was behind the wheel of his 2020 Ford F-150 pickup headed southeast on Valley View Drive at a high rate of speed, according to an arrest affidavit. The pickup clipped the mirror of a parked vehicle, and Hasty overcorrected, sending the Ford into a collision with a nearby brick structure, record state. Officers found Horton near the vehicle with incapacitating injuries. Horton later died at a hospital. He had not been wearing a seatbelt, according to court documents. An investigator said they could smell alcohol from Hasty, 20, at the time. Hasty had non-incapacitating injuries and told officers he had been drinking prior to driving, record state. Hasty was arrested December 3rd on suspicion of intoxication manslaughter with a vehicle. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $25,000 bond later that day, according to court records. A court date has been tentatively set for November 2021. From El Dorado to San Angelo, business brings chocolate-covered strawberries all year long. By Elena Edgen, published October 25th. Growing up with a mother who loved to make beautiful sweets, it just made sense for Erica Sanchez, a new San Angelo resident, to follow in her footsteps. I was inspired by my mother, who used to plan and decorate birthday parties, Sanchez said. I've always been interested in that type of scene, so I decided to try it out with strawberries. Sanchez started Berrylicious in El Dorado in March 2020, designing special boxes themed after plants and even cartoon anime characters. She moved herself and her business to San Angelo in October 2021. It's difficult to pick which is my favorite, Sanchez said. However, if I had to choose just one, I'd say my favorite type of arrangement to make are the floral berry boxes because it includes real flowers and chocolate-covered strawberries. Berrylicious can make arrangements for literally any occasion, she said. My goal is to make the perfect arrangement for my customers and make someone's day, Sanchez said. Every arrangement that's done is made with love. People who want to keep up with Berrylicious or order a custom box of sweets can follow the business on Facebook or Instagram. Manhunt ends peacefully in North San Angelo neighborhood, one person in custody. By John Tufts, Elena Edgen, and Colin Murphy. Published October 25th. Update. A San Angelo man has been identified after a manhunt in North San Angelo, according to a news release from the Texas Department of Public Safety. Minutes before 1 p.m. Friday, troopers attempted to stop a 2009 Harley-Davidson motorcycle with expired registration on U.S. 87 near North Chadburn Street. The driver, later identified as Jonathan Paul Jensen, 24, started evading, the release stated. Jensen left the Harley near Clearwater Street and continued running, initiating a manhunt in the area with police, troopers, and Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies. They arrested him near Fruitland Farm Court without incident, according to the release. Jensen was arrested on suspicion of evading arrest, detention with a vehicle. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center Sunday on a $10,000 bond. Original story. One person is in custody after multiple law enforcement agencies converged Friday afternoon at the 2900 block of Highway 2105, searching for a man who fled authorities earlier that day, according to police radio communications. At about 1:30 p.m., Friday, October 22nd, members of the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, San Angelo Police Department, and Texas Department of Public Safety could be seen searching for someone along Farm to Market Highway 2105. A Standard Times reporter on scene observed several law enforcement officials armed with shotguns. A drone could be seen sweeping through the air Friday as a canine unit arrived to canvass the fields. About 3 p.m., police radio communications said a person had been apprehended near Fruitland Farm Court. Law enforcement began leaving the area at 3:18 p.m. A reporter observed a man in handcuffs smoking a cigarette before being placed into a patrol unit. The Standard Times reached out earlier to the San Angelo Police Department for more information, but have received no response as of 3:45 p.m. Friday. Home-cooked meals with no cooking required. San Angelo Sisters Open Meal Prep Business by Elena Edgen, published October 22nd. For sisters Patty Rivera, Jenny McClure, and Joy Zesch, one of the hardest parts of starting their meal prep business was figuring out what to call it. We wanted something that said what our business was about, but also liked the idea of having sisters or our last name, since we are sisters. One day, Jenny's husband said, "What about simply sisters?" And it stuck, the sisters said. After a year of planning and advice from their father and grandfather, the trio opened Simply Sisters Food Company, a meal prep business they began in September 2021. About a year ago, we started talking about the idea of meal prep, but family style, McClure said in a message to the Standard Times. Our hope is to make dinner time easier, whether you are single, a couple, small family, or a big family. The trio release a new menu every week, which includes four dishes and two desserts. Their first menu on September 2nd included brisket tacos, grilled chicken with prickly pear glaze, and chocolate chip cookie dough brownies. I think we probably all have different favorites. Jenny loves our enchiladas. Patty's favorite is the creamy chicken bacon ranch. And Joy loves lasagna the most, but there are so many good ones, the sisters said. The dishes are available in two sizes, small, which feed 2 to 3 people, and large, which serve 5 to 6 people. Small dishes are $25. Large dishes are $35 each. Desserts are $10. Menus are posted on Facebook and Instagram on Thursdays, with orders due by 8 p.m. Friday. Dishes are cooked at a cafe in Moretta and can be picked up Mondays near HEB, 5502 Sherwood Way. An address will be provided to customers after placing an order. As of October 13th, Simply Sisters cannot modify dishes, but hopes to do so in the future. Some of our meals are naturally gluten and or dairy free, but are made in a kitchen that uses gluten and dairy, the sisters said. People can keep up with Simply Sisters on Facebook or Instagram. Orders can be made through social media or by emailing them at simplysistersfoodco@gmail.com. Eighth annual In Plein Air Art Event returns to San Angelo by Barbara Rollo, special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published October 22nd. 100 years ago, the Texas Artists Camp was established near Cristoval as Western art was becoming more appreciated. Artists and teachers came from as far away as Chicago Art Institute to paint along the emerald green waters of the South Concho River, spending weeks at a time painting in plein air, the French term for painting outdoors. Acknowledging that 100-year-old history is the 8th annual In Plein Air Texas, a feast for the eyes, as 31 artists from 16 states arrive to paint the city, along the same rivers, and out on private ranches nearby. Hosted by the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts, the event is noted as one of the top plein air competitions in the country. Committed volunteers and generous community support, including an endowment by arts patron Elta Joyce Murphy, ensure the continuation and growth of the event. Proceeds support the museum's children's outreach programming that reaches over 33,000 youth annually. 2021 In Plein Air Texas Events. Friday, October 29th. Part of the outreach of In Plein Air Texas is to provide area students and children opportunities to meet and visit with the award-winning artists from across the country. Friday morning, as 14 artists paint at the International Water Lily Gardens, Central and Lakeview High School art students will drop in to meet the artists and watch them paint. Ambleside and wall art students will also stop by, and the public is invited to come watch as well. The rest of the In Plein Texas artists will be visiting all 17 SAISD elementary schools that afternoon. That evening, the stables at Fort Concho becomes a kaleidoscope of colors and textures, as almost 300 paintings of San Angelo and the area are spotlighted in the 160-year-old building. They represent our land, our culture, our history, interpreted through the brushstrokes of artists from California to Maine. Over $21,000 in cash prizes will be awarded to the artists that evening by Judge Tim Newton of Cody, Wyoming. The $100 ticket for the Stampede Exhibit Awards party and sale includes a $100 credit towards purchase of a painting. All painting sales benefit the museum children's programs. Tickets may be purchased online at ENPLEIN.com. AIR texas.com or at the door. Saturday, October 30th, a full palette of free activities for children of all ages and art lovers begins at the San Angelo Fairgrounds with the Open Roping Paint Out at 9 a.m. The In Plein Air Texas artists will be scattered across the fairgrounds. Area artists may sign up for $10 to paint in the open competition that morning and vie for prize money. It's not a day to be shy. The artists are more relaxed today and happy to visit with onlookers, especially children. At noon, they take their paintings back to the stables at Fort Concho for judging and awards. An art scavenger hunt for kids starts off the afternoon at the stables with drawings for free ice cream cone coupons from San Angelo Sonic Drive-Ins for the winner's entire classroom at school. 200 free plein air to-go art kits can be picked up while they last. Saturday is the final opportunity to see and purchase one of the paintings created during the event. The stables are open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. with free entry. The roping paintings will be on sale on the sidewalk outside the stables at 12:30 p.m. and immediately following the awards announcement. The exhibit inside reopens with 31 new paintings, the Mini Pearls of the Conchos. Each artist paints a smaller 6x8 painting during the week, which is unveiled and for sale this afternoon for the first time. 2021 Awards Judge Newton presents a free talk on his selections for the winning paintings this afternoon at 2 p.m. in the stables. Pop-up painting demonstrations by the competition artists follow the talk, with more opportunities to walk up and visit with the artists or get an autograph, especially if you are a child on the scavenger hunt. The stables' doors close around 5 p.m., and the paintings that didn't find a home here in West Texas will travel across the country to galleries, be entered in competitions and win awards, be featured in national magazines, and they will spread the beauty of West Texas far and wide. The artists leave knowing there are lots more paintings to be painted here. They leave remembering the West Texas hospitality they were shown by strangers and newfound friends. And we who live here see our city and our countryside perhaps in a new light because of these artists, with new respect for our history and precious water. The visitors during the week will understand this is one of the many reasons San Angelo was named the Visual Arts Capital of Texas. More event information is at ENPLEINAIRTexas.com. Souvenir event guides may be picked up at the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts or the Visitors Bureau. Barbara Rollo is the coordinator and co-chair of In Plein Air Texas. Email her at paint@ENPLEINAIRTexas.com. Police say San Angelo man injured during argument after woman throws knife. By Elena Edgen, published October 22nd. A domestic dispute ended with an injured man and a woman arrested Wednesday, according to an arrest affidavit. On Wednesday, October 20th, police received a report of a domestic dispute on Walnut Street. A preliminary investigation discovered a family violence dispute ended with the man having a cut on his stomach, records state. The man told investigators he and a woman had been arguing and she picked up a paring knife to cause damage to his property. She then threw the knife at him, according to the affidavit. The woman told officers there was an argument. She did take the knife to damage property. Then the knife was thrown at the man, records state. Keely Kendall Ho, 22, was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 8:30 a.m. Friday, according to online jail records. Austin man arrested in San Angelo after deputies find marijuana, guns, and $63,000 in apartment. By Elena Edgen, published October 22nd. An Austin area man has been arrested after Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies found packaged marijuana and guns in a San Angelo apartment, according to a department news release. On Thursday, October 21st, deputies used a search warrant on an apartment in the 4100 block of Ben Ficklin Road in relation to a narcotics investigation, records state. Deputies found over $63,000, more than 13 pounds of marijuana, and two guns, which had been stolen, according to the release. Tyler Parks, 21, of Manor, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of possession of marijuana between 5 and 50 pounds. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center with no bond listed as of noon Friday, according to online jail records. Yes, San Angelo is getting a Chipotle. Here's what we know. By Elena Edgen, published October 22nd. Rumors circulating on Facebook early Friday about Chipotle coming to San Angelo turned out to be true, according to company officials. Tyler Benson, manager of external communications for Chipotle, confirmed the rumor via email Friday morning. We are currently scheduled to open a location in San Angelo at some point in the summer of 2022, Benson said in a message to the Standard Times. Those are the only details I have to share right now. Chipotle Mexican Grill has over 200 locations in Texas, the closest to San Angelo being in Abilene. The chain is popular for their burritos and bowl meals. Steve Ells, founder, started the business July 13, 1993 in Denver, Colorado, as a way to fund a different restaurant. Its popularity quickly grew from three restaurants in 1996 to about 2,300. Breast cancer navigators at Shannon Medical Center guide patients through difficult times. By Daisy Glaspie, Shannon Medical Center. Published October 21st. Breast cancer is one of the most common types of cancer diagnosed in women. Receiving this diagnosis is often frightening for patients, but there are now two certified breast cancer navigators to guide patients along their journey to treatment and serve as a point of contact for any questions they may have along the way. Whether the patient's needs are medical, emotional, financial, or anything else, our team is here to provide the best support possible. The main goal of a breast cancer navigator is to help provide patients with information and educate them on processes so they do not have to figure things out on their own. It is completely normal to not know what examinations and procedures are needed for your specific needs. This is where we come in to offer guidance and information on what steps are next. Some of the most common resources we provide are informing patients on their next steps, explain each procedure in detail, as well as schedule the appointments, walk patients through their treatment plan, refer patients to an oncologist, surgeon, or other provider, give patients information and resources on financial aid opportunities, be a trusted advocate to give patients control during their care. We work closely with both Shannon providers, as well as doctors out of town, to meet the needs of each individual. Our department has many resources to connect each patient the care they need, whether the next step is through an oncologist or a surgeon. Our team also works with and refers patients to Kelsey Kaufman, Shannon Oncology Nurse Navigator, to assist in further cancer treatment assistance. Our goal is to make the patient's transition to each department as smooth as possible. We want our patients to know they are never alone in their journey and that they have a voice in this process. There is fear in the unknown, but we are here to make them as comfortable and informed as possible. We are always available for a call or visit. Breast cancer navigators are available before, during, and after cancer treatment care. Each breast cancer navigator is certified through the National Consortium of Breast Cancers. Carmen Spencer, CNBA, is a patient coordinator, and Melissa Ramos, RTCNBI, is a breast imaging manager. Each certification takes many months of training and testing, as well as an obligation to maintain and continue education. For more information or to schedule an appointment with the Breast Cancer Navigator, please call the Shannon Imaging Center at 325-481-2339. Looking for a scary good time? Check out the San Angelo Area Haunted Attractions by Elena Edgen, published October 25th. The spooky season is here, bringing costumes, candy, and haunted attractions to the San Angelo area. Here's a look at the top haunted tours in the area. Fort Concho Fright Night, 7 p.m. October 29th and 30th, Fort Concho, 630 South Oak Street. Tickets can be purchased early for $8 at Barracks 1 Visitor Center or on the day of by cash. Children younger than 6 years old get in free, but must have an adult with them at all times. Haunted Corn Maze and Wall, October 29th and 30th, 9 to 11 p.m. Circle S Corn Maze and Pumpkin Patch, 7305 Bean Road in Wall. Cost $20. Tickets will be time slot tickets for every half hour and sold only online. Purchase tickets at circleacres.ticketleap.com/haunted-corn-maze-2021. You must show up at the time your ticket shows. This is a fundraiser event for the San Angelo Broadway Academy. Ninth Annual Haunted House, October 29th through the 31st, 8 to 11 p.m., 2306 Dartmouth Drive. Cost is free, though donations are appreciated. Hallowfest Haunted House starts at 6 p.m., October 30th and 31st, Ballinger Community Center, 200 Crossan Avenue in Ballinger. Cost is free, donations are accepted and appreciated. This haunted house is hosted by the Ballinger Police Association and Nexus North Point. On October 31st, there will also be a non-scary trunk-or-treat candy corral starting at 6 p.m. for free. For more information, call 325-374-6964. Hallow Scream at the Haunted Old Park Hotel, 7:30 p.m. to 1 a.m., October 29th and 30th, the Haunted Old Park Hotel, 107 South 6th Street in Ballinger. Cost, $10. If you purchase ahead of time online at oldparkhotel.com, you can skip the line. Tickets will be sold on the day of at the door as well. The Haunted Old Park Hotel has been featured on several paranormal podcasts and shows, including Fright Club on Discovery Plus with the Ghost Brothers and Jack Osborne. Nightmare at Camp Williams, 8 p.m. to midnight, October 29th, 7 p.m. to midnight, October 30th, 10950 North US 87 in Carlsbad. Cost $20. This is a haunted maze and fundraiser for Volunteer Services Council of San Angelo State Supported Living Center. The maze is for ages 8 years old and older, except for 7 to 8 p.m. on Saturdays, which is for all ages. Children 15 years old and younger must be accompanied by an adult. For more information, call 325-253-7920. Scare Station at the Railway Museum, 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday and 8 p.m. to midnight, Friday through Saturday through October 31st. The Railway Museum, 703 South Chadron Street. Cost, $15 per person, $10 for students, military, and seniors. Tickets can be bought online at sanangelorailway.org. This is the first year of this event, which had direction and design help from Shelby Bond, a Los Angeles producer, writer, and comedian. Rock wrens, a plain little bird wanting plenty of space to sing its song, by Michael Price. Special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published October 24th. I may have mentioned this before, but a dear friend of mine once told me that there were only three types of birds. If it soars, it's a hawk. If it swims, it's a duck. And everything else are just little brown birds. While his description would not inspire even the least interested hobbyist, besides not even being close to being taxonomically correct, it could be utilized to describe a diminutive brown bird that can be observed in the desert Southwest. The rock wren is a common year-round resident throughout much of the southwestern portions of the United States, ranging from central Texas westward to northern California. From there, it occurs throughout much of the Chihuahuan Desert and Mexican Plateau regions of Mexico. It can be observed year-round in the western two-thirds of Texas, save for a small area on the Llano Estacado, where it merely overwinters. This ordinary and subtly colored species of bird is of an intermediate build, with a body length of only 6 inches and a wingspan of barely 9 inches. The breast coloration is generally an off-white with numerous very fine vertical streaks. These streaks fade away underneath the breast area. The back feathers are colored grayish-brown, with many feathers being decorated with the spattering of white. The feathers on top of the head, or crest, are colored similarly to the back, and there is a dark line that runs horizontally behind the eye. The cinnamon-colored tail is long and includes a series of black bars on the underside that can be seen readily when the feathered creature raises its tail. The beak is slender and long and curved downward ever so slightly. Rock wrens are much more adept to surviving in barren, arid to semi-arid areas than its closely related cousin, the canyon wren, with whom it will occasionally share canyons and cliffs. Rock wrens are commonly seen while foraging for food, hopping among boulders, searching for various insects and arachnids that comprise the majority of its diet. Many are also seen as they perch on rocks, either singing or chiding a would-be predator. It has been reported that some males may be capable of singing over 100 songs. During these songs, most specimens will elevate their tails upward, exposing the black barring. This bird typically prefers to live a solitary life, although some may pair up throughout the year. It is a monogamous species, and both sexes partake in the building of the nest, which is often concealed in rocky outcroppings. The nest is typically made up of grasses, stems, roots, fur, and feathers. Curiously, there oftentimes is a trail of pebbles and even animal bones that lead to the nest. Breeding is not well documented, but it is assumed that there is one or two broods produced annually. Each brood contains anywhere from 4 to 10 white eggs with reddish-brown sprinkling. The eggs are quite small, at less than 3/4 of an inch in length. Incubation time is about 2 weeks, and for the 2 weeks following hatching, the young are tended to by both sexes. Rock wrens are a common to abundant bird throughout their range in Texas, and their population densities are stable. This is due to them residing in areas that are not typically bent to urban sprawl, giving this plain little bird plenty of space to sing its song. And now here's the column by Allison Watkins. How to plant and grow healthy, happy pecan trees. Many of the questions that come into the Extension office are about pecan tree care. Pecans are beautiful landscape trees that provide a healthy, delicious food, but they are not low maintenance. They require plenty of water, fertilizer, and pest control to stay healthy and make a good crop. For a good guide on caring for pecan trees, visit the website tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture and click on West Texas Pecan Management. This time of year, the main focus is on harvesting. Keep irrigating weekly when there is no rainfall, all the way through shuck split. adequate moisture is needed to finish the nuts and for the shucks to open up and allow the nuts to fall. The pecans are ready to harvest any time after the shuck begins to open up, but nuts harvested early in the season will need to be dried before being placed in storage. Allow to dry on screens in a well-ventilated space for about 2 weeks until the kernel snaps when bent. For best quality, store pecans in the freezer and keep sealed so they don't absorb odors from other foods. Fall is an excellent time of year to plant trees. Some of the recommended varieties include Pawnee, Hopi, Sioux, and Wichita. These do well in the Concho Valley. Pecans perform best in deep, well-drained soil that is weed-free around the tree. Remove all vegetation and apply mulch to help keep weeds out for newly planted trees to establish quickly. In order to maintain a healthy shade tree in the landscape, water is the main need. Provide thorough irrigation every week or two when there is no rain. 3 weeks without water will stress the trees. Nitrogen fertilization is also beneficial. For homeowners that would like to try and improve crop production, zinc foliar spray is helpful and pest prevention is needed. Pecan nut case bearers can destroy developing nutlets in the spring, and pecan weevil can destroy pecans in the late summer. We will be conducting the annual Concho Valley Pecan Show on Friday, December 3rd at the Tom Green County Extension Office. The Pecan Show is a chance to have pecans judged for quality and compete with other entries for ribbons. Anyone who grows pecans is welcome to enter the show, and there is no entry fee. For more details on how to enter, please contact the Extension Office at 325-659-6522. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.